I just wanted to just share something that as I read through the Bible in my daily readings, I've been reading through the book of Daniel, and it's there for a reason. This book where Daniel is in Persia, he's been captured by King Nebuchadnezzar, and then King Nebuchadnezzar, who is the emperor of the whole of the then known world, the story in Daniel 2, he has a dream, and in that dream he sees this statue, and it says it has a head of gold, and you probably know the story, then silver, then bronze, then iron and clay. And it talks about how a hand comes, and this rock is formed without hands, and it smashes the feet of the idol, and the whole thing crumbles to the ground. And there have been many different interpretations of that over the years, but the interpretation that Daniel gives to Nebuchadnezzar was that Nebuchadnezzar was the current ruler. He was the head. And then it's like he gave him a complete overview of the empires of the world right to the end of time. And at the end of time, there'd be another kingdom formed, which would, it says that it would fill the earth. It was an everlasting kingdom that would fill the earth. And it just, in a way, helped to put in perspective for me. You know, we all the time with the Ukraine crisis, we've got it coming into our minds. It's very painful to watch, actually, isn't it? I found myself weeping the other morning, and I watched the news many times. And so emotionally, it's quite hard, I think, to stay conscious of the Ukraine thing all the time. And yet God wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to pray, and he wants us to give. I believe that. But at the same time, it's good to know that God is God, and that there is a kingdom that he is forming in the earth, of which we here at Bassett Street Church are part of that kingdom, which will never be destroyed. And it's so amazing to be part of something divine, something great, something of God that is building in the midst of the chaos of this world. But also to know that God knows the end from the beginning. And that brings not only a sense of peace to our hearts, but also a sense of awesomeness of what God is like. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar said of God after this dream. At the end of these days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" That's God, isn't it? And it's just good to have that perspective on what's happening. We're reaching out to be a part of God's love in this world at this time, both in prayer. Monica was shared this morning, the first meeting. She was up at 6:30 this morning for the Ukrainian prayer meeting, which is put on by a Polish church that we know that are part of the Relational Mission Group, and who are taking in refugees. And they are associated with other churches all over Ukraine, actually. And they know them well. And so we want to try to give into that. And we sent out an email and a WhatsApp with the details that you can give to that if you want. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll have a special offering for Ukraine. So we'll give you details of that. And we'll keep out sending details of that link that you can give to. And that means that the money will go into the Bassett Street Church account, and then from that we can then give to this church that are right in the front line. And there's a video we'll show as well in a couple of weeks of actually what they're doing in bringing aid and taking in some of the stories of the families, which is really lovely. But we are part of that kingdom that endures from generation to generation. And it's a privilege and a blessing that we can be part of giving into that while in a way the empires are crumbling around us. So I just wanted to mention that. And the other thing I wanted to mention was this evening, that here in this little pool we've got, there's going to be our first baptisms as a church together, as a church in Bassett Street. And we're very excited. 6 or 7 people at the moment are going to be baptized. And we're really excited about that. And Luke's going to share a bit more about that in a minute. Barbara and one or two others have volunteered to make cakes. So we're going to start half an hour early. So we've got time to eat cake, drink tea and coffee. So come at 5:30 if you want to, or if you're bringing friends or relatives to the baptism. We're going to have that time at 5:30. And then at 6, we'll try to start pretty much on time and start the baptisms. Just then to mention also that on Tuesday, we have our regular prayer meeting, which is the engine room of the church. What we do on Sundays is a chance to serve one another, to bring God's word. But we're praying on the Tuesdays for the power, and the love that comes from heaven to fill, this place. So where's Luke gone? Are you ready, Luke? Okay, that's fine. This is a good opportunity. Just turn to the person next to you, or behind you or in front of you and just say hi, and maybe say, happy World Sleep Day or something like that.
Well, hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Luke. I'm one of the recently appointed elders here at the church in Bassett Street. Thank you. I was an elder at my last church, and a few of my friends have messaged me saying, how does it feel? And I must say, it's very humbling being in a church where many people are older than you, but they're prepared to acknowledge you as one of the elders. So I just want to say thank you for that. I was in a church where many people were my peers, and just a very different experience. So yeah, I thank you for receiving me, and I hope that as we work our way forward together as a church, that God will use me and you as we're on this journey together. Today is like a massive moment. I am very excited about this moment. I've been wanting to do baptisms since September. So this is like really exciting in terms of that we can do it today. We've got people going into the water. And the reason it's significant for us as a church is because this is the sign of things to come. These are not going to be the only baptisms we're ever going to do. I hope this is like the Bible talks about like the first fruits of what's to come. And I believe that this is like the first fruits of what's to come in this church's new season. That we will see many times having to get these wooden things up and fill the pool because we've got people getting saved and wanting to be built in and part of this church. So I'm in faith for that. And they're going to help us today by looking at some scripture, working through what does it mean to be reborn as a believer of Jesus? And I trust that it will either, if you've been following Jesus a long time, give you tools to help share your faith. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, I hope that you might today go a bit further on that journey. And if in this point, as I'm sharing, you go, do you know what? I fancy getting baptized tonight. Then we can do that as well. So I trust that God is going to do something amongst us as I share. I'm going to pray, but if you want to, we're going to read from Luke 14. So you might want to get your Bible out, or if you brought it with you, you might want to get it up on your phone, because I find it just so helpful sometimes to read along as well as listening. But let me pray, and then we can get into God's word. Lord, I thank you for what you've been doing in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are always working. Lord, the same God who flung the stars into space cares intimately and deeply about us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help me today as we look at your word, that it would be your word speaking through me, Lord. I'm just a man who was given a microphone this morning, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking powerfully powerfully through my words, that we all might understand a different facet of who you are this morning. Amen. Amen. So, Luke 14, and we're going to read from verses 12 to 24. It will come up on the screen as well. But yeah, let's follow along. So Jesus had just been invited. He was at a banquet with some people. And this is what he said to the man who invited him. He said, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to the man, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they, all alike, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go and examine them. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" If you were invited to a great banquet, would you immediately just come? Or would you make excuses? "Oh, I've got something on that day." One person, "I've got a wife, I can't come." Sounds like a Diary Clash moment there, doesn't it? You might have had it. Someone invite you over, "Oh, we'd love to have you over for dinner." "Oh, I'm busy that night." This was a fancy laid-on banquet that they didn't have to do anything. They were just invited. And Jesus is using this story to illustrate to the people who are at the banquet about the kingdom of God. Now, in the Bible, it says when Jesus returns, there will be like a marriage supper. If you've been to a wedding, there's like often a great meal as part of the wedding. It says that one day Jesus will return and his church and him, they will be joined and there'll be a marriage supper that every one of us here in this room, right across our neighbors, is invited to. But the question is, are we going to make excuses? "Oh, I've got something better on. Oh, yeah, no, I can't make that one." That's interesting. The people who came, what does it say? The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Now, you might not be any of those, but actually, if you've come to know Jesus, there's an element of they were the ones in need, recognizing they couldn't do anything for themselves. They weren't the privileged. There was an understanding of who they were and why they're being invited. Actually, if you've given your life to Jesus, there's an element where you are the poor, the lame, the crippled, because you've recognized in your own heart, "I can't do this on my own. I am flawed and I am broken and I need someone to help me." Actually, the people who turned down this invitation felt they had that. They didn't need to be there. Now, I'm sure you know people who you might have shared your faith with, and there might have been a sense they almost feel like they've got life sorted. But actually, I want to commend those of us who have given our lives to Jesus that actually to recognize our weakness is a wonderful thing. And it means that we are beginning and learning how to trust Jesus in all things. And I love in this story how there's an eagerness on the master's part. People turn him down. "I'm not coming, not coming." And he sends out his servants, "Quickly, go here, go and get some more people." Then they go to the high, then they come back and they say, "There's still room." He says, "Go and get more. Anyone who will come, let's invite them." I believe that's like a calling on us. Go, bring people in, share, invite them to this great banquet that we've all been invited to. Let's have an eagerness like God. Because we are all invited to this banquet. Now, I know a good chunk of you in this room, but there's a few I don't know. Just say you're invited. We're all invited. And what I'm going to do now is we're going to work through a few different steps of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I know that many will be on different points of this, but I think it will be really helpful. But first, I'm going to read from John 1, verses 11 and 12. And again, it will come up on the screen. And this is what John writes about Jesus. It says, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." For all who receive Jesus have the right to become children of God. People rejected Jesus when he was on earth. People are still rejecting Jesus now. But to all who receive him have the right to become children of God. So what does it look like to become a child of God? There's a passage in scripture where someone's saying, where they're questioning, how am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb? No. What it looks like, and I'm going to sort of explain it and try and condense it into four simple steps. And we'll see where we go from there. But it looks like repentance. It looks like faith. Baptism in water. And the receiving of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to work through those step by step. And salvation doesn't happen in that set order. God does what he wants. But this is a really helpful way, I think, for us to be able to articulate it this morning and understand what it looks like to decide to follow Jesus. So we'll start with repentance. Now, repentance generally comes, I think you'd all agree with me. If you look around the world at the moment, you'd go, it's broken. You would look at the situation in Ukraine, go, this is not okay. You'd look at the news story this week about Child Q, and go, this should not be happening in this world. Should not be happening. The fact that a child would feel unsafe in their school is disgusting. We'd see so much brokenness. All you need to go in your news app is to find brokenness. That's not hard to find. You'd also, I think it's important to recognize that we are broken people. I know for myself, I sometimes get angry at my children for not listening to me. Nothing of their own fault, my anger. It might be greed. We might be checking our bank balance every day. How much money have I got? Have I got enough? It might be gossiping. You might have a boss you don't like, and everyone in the workplace knows that. You might be selfish. You might come into a different situation thinking, what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? Actually, it's really important that we acknowledge that we are not perfect people. And anyone who says there is, you probably just say, I'm really sorry you're not. Even the most wonderful people are not perfect. And actually, I'm sure as I'm sharing now, in your own heart you go, oh yeah, I'm not. But that's a really positive thing. Because we didn't make excuses. We're happy to say, I'm broken, I'm lame, I'm crippled, I need some help. Essentially, what it looks like to not follow God is like not trusting him. Trying to do things on our own means. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. All. And actually, in kind of secular terms, I think you'll see often in people debating, if they don't have a faith, that we have a moral compass. That's like things people talk about. I believe, because I believe in Jesus, that that moral compass isn't something that we have just evolved. That comes from the Lord. A sense of right and wrong. A sense of justice. A sense of knowing good and evil. That's not just something that has just we've just developed ourselves. No, I believe that's from God. And I think we could probably all, if we were being brutally honest with ourselves, look at our life this week, maybe even this morning, and go, I didn't do great on that. And the good thing is, though, here's some hope. Once we've acknowledged and accepted we're not perfect, we don't meet God's standard, how God intended, then the question is, how do we draw near? How do we get into this meal? How do we get there? Now, in the Old Testament, The Jewish law was that there would be a price needed to be paid. And what that looked like was they would sacrifice a spotless lamb for the people's sins. Now, if you've been around the church more than a week, you notice that we don't sacrifice spotless lambs. We don't do that. But that's because we believe that Jesus paid the price and once for all was that spotless lamb. That's why. It's not because we don't believe in that. It's actually, no, we believe that Jesus did it once and for all. For every wrongdoing. In 2 Corinthians 5:12, it says this. For our sake, God made him, that's Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, he's saying, Jesus was perfect, knew no sin, but God made him take on our price, our sin, so that we might have a right standing before God. Notice, it's nothing about anything we did in that moment. It's an understanding of what Jesus has done. Jesus is the only way into this banquet that there will one day be. Almost this invitation today is to seek forgiveness. To seek the Lord and say, I'm sorry for doing things my own way. I'm sorry for trying to do this on my own. I'm sorry for being so proud that I've made myself an idol. So repentance, and the next thing is faith. And they have to go hand in hand. Jesus said in Mark 1, he said, repent and believe. Repent and have faith. The question is, if we need forgiveness from not meeting God's standards, we need to work out who we seek that from. With my kids, if one of them hits the other one, they have to go and apologize to the other one. In the same way, we need to come before the Lord. Jesus said this of himself in John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, when he was on earth, lived a perfect life to God's standard. No price needed to be paid for his sin. No lamb had to be sacrificed for him. But he paid the price that we would have to pay by exchanging his own perfect life for us. So for all those little niggles, all those things that might be coming to mind as I'm sharing, Jesus has paid that price for you forever. In Mark 16, Jesus said, whoever believes in him and is baptized will be saved. Whoever believes in him, puts their trust in him, is prepared to follow him, prepared to trust him above all else. And what's like the significance of baptism? In some ways, it's people just going into water and coming out. But in some ways, it's so much more than that. It symbolizes so much more than that. It's an outward expression of what God has been doing on the inside in people's lives. So whilst in the external, it is someone just going into water and coming back out, what is going on is so much deeper. It's a beautiful moment where we see the coming together of what Jesus did on the cross happening in our lives. There's a moment where as people will come into the water this evening, they will be united with Christ. As they go under the water, they'll be united with Christ in his death. There's a moment where we are dying to ourselves. We're saying, I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to choose to do things the way that God has chosen. I'm going to turn from how I've been doing my life. And I'm going to go into the water. Die, like Jesus died on the cross. And then they're going to go in the water, like the burial, where Jesus spent 3 days in the tomb. But in that moment, when you get buried, there's a cleansing that happens. There's a purification. There is a washing that happens in the burial. And then as people come out of the water, it is with Jesus as he is resurrected. New birth, new life, no more sin clinging on, meaning that you can stand before God righteous because of what Jesus has done. Not because of what you've done. That's what it symbolizes. That's what it's pointing to. So we must remember that when these guys go into the water tonight, it's the significance of a death, a burial, and a resurrection with Jesus. And being united with him in that. It's not just something we do because it sounds nice. It's so important. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, Christ suffered once for all sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. What's happening in the water is we're being put to death in the flesh. We are dying to our lives and rising again into life in the spirit. That's where we get to this fourth thing, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Now, churches, and I think it's really interesting, we've been three different churches coming together, can have all different perspectives on how the Holy Spirit works and plays out in people's lives. And I'm going to try and give some clarity and some just kind of, so someone has said what we sort of believe about the Holy Spirit now. Hopefully that'll be helpful, but it's almost like this is just a opening something so that we can begin to expect more. It's really important. There's a beautiful moment in scripture where we see Jesus getting baptized. There's a moment where we see the Trinity in unison. We see Jesus go into the water. We see Jesus come out. And we see the Holy Spirit descending as like a dove. And the heavens open and the Father speaking, "This is my Son with whom I am pleased." This is beautiful. The Holy Spirit descending. And we, this evening, after people have been baptized, we'll be praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Because we believe that you need the Holy Spirit to be able to live a life following Jesus. The Holy Spirit in Scripture is described as a helper. And I find it sometimes in circles I've been in, sometimes people can think of like the Holy Spirit as like a force. You know, like in Star Wars where it's like, use the force. The Holy Spirit isn't like that. It's more helpful to think of the Holy Spirit like a person. Not so like a physical person, but just in the way you relate to the Holy Spirit is much more helpful than thinking I need to tap into something that's going on. No. The Holy Spirit is here to guide, to encourage, to help us. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, he says, "The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things I have said to you." Jesus is saying the Father will send the Spirit to help us remember the things that God has done, to help us remember all that he's done in our lives. So the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us, to remind us, to guide us, to encourage us, to empower us to live lives to God. We want to be a Spirit-filled people. What does that mean? That can set people off. You're like, what does he mean by that? I'm going to try and help us explain, because again, it's not like, it shouldn't be like this wacky, crazy stuff. Actually, we are called to be a Spirit-filled people. All throughout the book of Acts is Spirit-filled people doing stuff for God. So this is why I had to get some things prepared to help understand a bit of the Spirit. Bear with me. So, here's some water. Think of this as us. Let's hope it works. It worked really well in the first service. So, putting a tea bag. You know what happens with a tea bag. Can you see? Yeah. Think of the tea bag like the Holy Spirit. Yeah? There's nothing more crazy that's going to happen than that, by the way. If you're expecting me to do like a magic trick, that's about it. I've made a cup of tea. But the point is that the Holy Spirit should completely infuse our lives. Tea is like an infusion, right? But if I was to pour, what am I pouring out of this glass? Tea. But I put in water. There's no water coming out now. It's tea. There's an element of when we've received the Holy Spirit, what should come out should look different. What should come out, if you're not changed by the work of God in your life, then you start to have to go, am I letting God work in my life? Am I letting this tea bag, for example, have an effect? Yeah? In the scripture, it talks about a tree being known by its fruit. If we went to an apple tree, what would you pick off it? not a trick question. If we went to a banana tree and picked something off it, what would we expect? Banana. If we are believers, we've put our trust in Jesus, we've been baptized, we've received the Holy Spirit, this is what our fruit should be. I'm going to share. It's from Galatians 5, verse 22. Feel free to flick there with me. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law." Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now we can sometimes get a bit confused with, oh, I've got those fruits. It's not like a fruit bowl. It's one fruit. When the Spirit is having work in our life, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Think of it more like if you just take a bite of an apple and you describe it, ah, it's crunchy, and it's juicy, and it's sweet, or there's a bit of a tanginess. Think of the fruit of the Spirit as this is what a person who has come to know God and has been filled with the Spirit should look like. It should be full of love, full of joy, full of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I've been in circles where it feels like people are going, oh, I'm good at these three. But I don't do that one very well. You're like, no. It's probably an all-inclusive thing. You don't get to pick and choose. But actually, it's important to recognize that sometimes we don't always feel like that. An important thing is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we drum up. It's not, I've got to be more joyful. I've got to be kinder. No. We've got to seek God. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to be kinder. Help me to be more peaceful in all circumstances. Help me to have more self-control. A tree is known by its fruit, as a believer should be known by our fruit. We should be known for this kind of thing in our workplaces, in our schools, in our colleges, in our homes. And it's important that we have that. It's important that people, if they were to pick the fruit off us, they go, oh, they look a bit like that. Then another way the Spirit is at work at us, this receiving of the Holy Spirit, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, again, in church history, have been completely overplayed and underplayed to both proportions. Even in the Bible, the church in Corinth, they loved the gift of tongues, and Paul had to kind of write to them about that. There's lots of people's opinions on all these kind of things. And again, we believe in the whole of Scripture. So we're going to go with the whole of Scripture in terms of what we understand about it. And if it's not in Scripture, then we'll sort of go, well, it's not in Scripture. But if it is in Scripture, we'll go, well, we sort of believe that for us. So there's some key things. So I'm going to list off in a second a whole range of what the Bible lists as gifts of the Spirit, which some of them you may not have even associated with gifts of the Spirit. And some of them you would have heard of and thought, that's a bit mad. And that's okay. Because the Bible talks about the Spirit there being a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. And this is in a passage in Scripture in 1 Corinthians where Paul is writing to that church to say that the church is one body and many members. And the point he was trying to make is that a church is made up of loads of different people, and we can't and shouldn't expect anyone to be the same. Because we all have different strengths. We all have different characteristics. We all have different weaknesses. And that's really important in a church. And actually being able to be honest with ourselves about that is really important. Different people will do different things. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different people, and it manifests and looks different in different people. So here's just, I'm going to read these gifts of the Spirit. There's 2 points in 1 Corinthians, which I'm going to talk about. But in other points in the New Testament, there is other moments where gifts of the Spirit are laid out. So this isn't an exclusive list. This isn't the whole list. And in both these sections, they say different. They don't all say the same things. The reason I say that is because What I don't want us to do is get in a position where we're writing up going, this one is, this one isn't, this one is, this, do you see what I mean? It's actually, the Bible sort of gives parameters to go, different people write different things, and actually it's part of us as a church working out how the gifts of the Spirit work. So here's some of the, that are in the list. The gift of wisdom and knowledge. Sort of understanding. Seeing things in a way people don't always see them. The gift of faith. Have you ever known someone who just has like crazy faith for different situations and you're like, oh, and then you're thinking, I need to go and speak to them because they'll be all right about it. Gift of healing and miracles. Seeing physical ailments healed. It's a gift of the Spirit. No, well, doctors maybe could help people get better. But things that are uncurable by doctors, there's no one in here who has like a special thing. It's the Holy Spirit working for his people. We believe that if we prayed for people, they can be healed. Why do we believe that? Because it's in the Bible. And the same Spirit that was at work back in the book of Acts when the apostles were doing their thing, the same Spirit is with us now. Believe in the gift of prophecy. Hearing from God. People might have this gift where they can speak into situations which they would have zero knowledge of because God has revealed it to them. The gift of discernment, which is different to the wisdom and knowledge. It's like being able to discern what's going on in different situations. Something's not right there. There's the gift of tongues, which tongues is, it's helpful to think of it as a language you don't know, but somehow you're able to speak. And I've seen that in two different settings. Play out. I've seen someone get up to pray in the gift of tongues, and it turned out they were speaking someone else's language that they'd never spoke. Now, they didn't learn that language, they just did. That person, that rem, spoke really powerfully to them, because they're like, you prayed in my language. And they go, no, I didn't, I just prayed in the gift of tongues. So they didn't know they were praying in that language. The other way, which is more common with the gift of tongues, is to think of it as a heavenly prayer language, where actually what it is something inside of us is welling up that we don't have words for in our own language. It's not this crazy thing. It's a Holy Spirit inspired thing. And yes, it does sometimes sound a bit crazy. I was walking to church with my daughter and I was just like praying in tongues. She goes, what are you doing, Dad? I was saying, I'm just speaking to God because I don't really know what to say, but I just, something is bubbling inside of me. Now, alongside the gift of tongues, you get the gift of interpretation. Which means if someone on a Sunday morning was to come and pray in the gift of tongues, which would be no problem, we would wait for it to be interpreted, trust that God would give someone the gift of interpretation in that moment, so that we can all understand what's being said. We wouldn't just assume, oh, everyone knows what's going on here. No. We'd wait. Gift of interpretation. You might look at someone like Joseph in the Old Testament. He could interpret dreams. Probably fair to say, he probably had the gift of interpretation. But that's a different one to explain. But you kind of go, ah, that's what it might look like. People who can be told things, heard things, and they can interpret what God might be saying in that. There's other gifts. The gift of helping is in there. The gift of administration is in the Bible. Crazy to think that 2,000 years ago, they're talking about administration needing to be a gift. But it was. People are gifted administrators. There'll be people in this room who'll be like, I'm really good at admin. Maybe it's a gift of God. Maybe it is. I'm not very good at admin. I don't have the gift of administration. Gift of hospitality. What does that mean? Well, as Christians, we're called to be hospitable, but some people are just ridiculously good at blessing people, and all you want to do is be at their home. There is people in this church like that. That have this extraordinary gift to have people in their home, share their life, and make you feel blessed. That's not just because they're a nice person. That's because the Holy Spirit has done something in them and given this extraordinary gift of hospitality. There's a gift of leadership. That might play itself out in church context. That might play itself out in work. But God appoints leaders. We believe that, says it in Scripture. So we also believe that God can give the gift of leadership. Gift of teaching. Could be teaching on a Sunday, but some people just have this crazy, amazing ability to take something very complex and explain it very simply that everyone understands. Now, that can come through hard work, but I also believe it can be a gift that God gives. And as I've been sharing, just that's like my little list that I've got at the moment. But like I said, it's not all of the lists of the gifts that are included in Scripture. But actually, I believe that as I'm sharing, there might be people to go, oh, I've never thought of that as a gift of the Spirit. Some people, we might have been like, I've only thought of like prophecy in tongues, like the wacky ones. But actually, they're not wacky. They're gifts of the Spirit. There is various gifts, but one Spirit. And all of them, the purpose of all of these gifts are for the building up and the encouraging of the church. That's what they're there for helping, for serving, for blessing. And the Bible says that we should earnestly desire these gifts. So when we pray for the guys tonight, after they've come out of the water, we're going to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. In that moment, God might give them some of these gifts, and we might not even realize it, and they might not even realize it, but in a few years' time, we might go, cool, they're flipping heck, what's happened there? And you go, oh no, it's a gift of Spirit, that's what's happened. We pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, something has happened. In that moment, they've received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has started to infuse. It's got darker. And we go on being filled. We go on letting the Holy Spirit have work in our life. You let those gifts mature. Don't think of it as like a, for example, like the gift of hospitality. Someone, God gives that and it's like, oh, suddenly they're amazing at that. It's probably something they grow and learn how to use. Same with all of these gifts. I was at this like an elder training weekend last weekend. And I found it really challenging. Because one of the things we were talking about, what does a Spirit-filled church look like? And one of the things they put to us as a question was, do we turn up to every church context expecting that Jesus will do something? Did we turn up today expecting for God to move? Or, if you're like me, did you go, I hope they do that song I like. I hope the talk isn't too long. Yeah, hope I get one of the mince pies that we're still serving. But you know what I mean? It's like, actually, we want to be expectant for God to move. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here. Like, I want us to be in faith as a church for what God might do amongst us. I'm happy. I want to pray for people to be healed. I want to pray for situations that feel immovable to be moved. In Ephesians, Paul writes, God can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So let's start asking and imagining stuff and then going, well, God can do more than we can ask or imagine. It might be for that difficult family member to come to know Jesus. It might be for that neighbor who you can't believe that they would ever come to know Jesus because they drive you insane, for them to come to know Jesus. It might be for a situation that just feels so immovable for God to do something in that. It might be a long-term illness that we pray for. Why would we pray for it? Well, again, we see it in Scripture. We see God doing extraordinary things. And I want us to raise our expectation of what we can expect here. It's in this new season as a church, we've got at least 6, 7, hopefully more getting baptized tonight. I want us to have an issue of like, oh my goodness, we're filling it up again. I want the water bill to be rising because we're having to fill it up all the time because people are getting saved. We've got this extraordinary opportunity as a church with this building, which is unbelievable. And if any of us were to get it valued, we'd go, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But the reality is we want God to be using us as a people from this church to be a blessing with this. I want us to be dreaming dreams about what we could do here. Having, oh my goodness, I'd love my neighbours to be doing something in here. I'd love to do something. I want us to have faith as a church that God is going to use us because of the Holy Spirit at work. The disciples, when they were knocking about in Acts, people were getting healed by their shadows. That happened. That's not just like a made up thing. That happened. So I feel like we can sort of raise our expectations of faith of what we want to see God do. On our Sunday mornings when we gather to glorify God. Like, we don't come to, oh, what can I get out of this? No, we gather to glorify his name, to look to him. So let's come going, God, I'm coming to glorify you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to move amongst us? Let us be a church that we have more and more expectation If God can do more than we can ask or imagine, let's get asking. And then when he starts doing that, let's keep asking more. Let's not settle and grow comfortable. We turn up, sing a few nice songs, there's a sort of semi-interesting talk, and then we go home for a nice Sunday lunch. That's pretty boring, isn't it, to be honest? How much more fun if we turn up going, I don't know what Jesus is going to do, but it's going to be fun. Do you know what I mean? Because if we don't believe that, then it's like, we may as well just lock the doors and not bother coming. Because I love us being a nice people. But as well as being a spirit-filled church, we want to be a spirit-fueled church. Yeah? This drink, you make a drink to be drunk, right? Unless you've got busy things. But here's something interesting about expectation, which I found out this morning as I was testing with Isabel. So this was made with boiling water. I was expecting to make a hot tea. Here is a tea bag with cold water. Didn't know about that tea bags, did you? You're not really doing anything. There wasn't an expectation to make a cup of tea with cold water. If someone made you a cup of tea with cold water and then added milk to that, you'd politely, hopefully, go, no, I won't be drinking that, thank you. I'll make my own the next time I'm over. But the point I'm making is about the expectation of our faith. The Holy Spirit and God, they love to see our faith rise. Scripture says if we can have faith like a mustard seed, we can call mountains to be thrown up into the sea. Sounds insane, right? Let's not just make that, oh yeah, that's a really normal thing, mountains into seas. No, it's crazy. But the Bible says if we have faith like that, then we can see that. So I want us to have faith. Not like this, where we turn up with tepid water and we then pray, oh Lord, would you move amongst us? And you're thinking, well, I've only been thinking about what's on for dinner. No, let's turn up expectant that we're ready to make a cup of tea, that we're ready, that our temperature is already high. God, what are you going to do? How are you going to move? Let's be in faith as a church for what God's got for us in this next season. We should be expecting salvation. This last weekend, so I was at this thing, I'll tell you the story. This guy, he was helping lead a church in Dubai. And they're allowed in Dubai to have churches in certain places, and they're government allowed. But occasionally, apparently, the government will send in spies to check you're not pushing down on the government and stuff like that. And he shared this story that a woman came in at the back with her son. And they were like, okay. Never seen her before. They were like, oh, she must be a spy. And they're in the time of worship. And her son is just dancing around like crazy. And they were like, we don't know what's going on here. We don't know what's going on here. And then halfway through the songs, she starts to come to the front. And they're like, oh no, what is going to happen here? And they share this story. The woman comes up to them and says, I heard there was a church here, so I came. My son's been deaf since birth and now can hear the music and is dancing because he can hear the music. It's not anything else but the Holy Spirit at work there. No one had prayed for that young boy. God had just done something in opening his ears. Why don't we be in faith for things like that? God's Holy Spirit is in and working through us. I want to tell stories like that. I want to go on visiting and telling other people, we saw God move in this way, and it's amazing, but we've had faith, and we've been praying for God to move in extraordinary ways. We recognize the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and we want to see him do stuff. I imagine when the disciples were wandering around with Jesus. You imagine, after he's done the feeding the 5,000, the next time you're at dinner, you're thinking, oh, what's going on here? What are we getting? They would have been an expectation. I think the disciples must have been, Jesus left them and sent the Holy Spirit to be with them. And you never see them complain about being unsatisfied. I believe the same is for us. We should have an expectation and a satisfaction in the Holy Spirit being with us in a way that, as if Jesus was really here with us. I felt stirred as we were singing this morning. to read this from 1 Peter. Remember, this is the same Peter who Jesus said he will build his church. Same Peter who stepped out of the boat and sank. Same Peter who denied Jesus. And Jesus restored. Peter writes this about Jesus. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now hear this. In this you rejoice, though now for a while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, says that though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That's the call it on us. We don't see Jesus physically now. We are waiting and longing for the day he returns. I know many of you in this room would have been waiting a long time, longer than me already. But we pray for it. And though we don't see him yet, we rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. So church, Jesus is the most unbelievable person you will ever come across. He gave his life for us. He said, believe and be baptized. And then he promises the Holy Spirit to help us as we live our lives. Now, I'm going to finish now. But just to encourage you, wherever you are on this journey, you might be right early doors going, I'm only just getting that I'm a bad person or that I do things wrong. That's okay. You may have kind of got to that point going, I don't always get things right. I feel like I need to find a way to balance this out. And as I've been sharing, you've gone, maybe that's Jesus. That's okay. Today, there's plenty of people here who would love to help you on that journey. You may actually be at a point where you go, I've actually sought forgiveness and I really believe in Jesus, like he who is who he says he was. And actually, I want to do that outward expression of what God has done inside me. And you want to get baptized tonight? We can do that. We're not really too bothered about the logistics. If it just ends up being like a party fun of like people getting baptized, we'll go for that. Yeah? It is somber, it is serious, but it's also an amazing moment for celebration. And I believe as well, there's a sense of us wanting to receive the Holy Spirit afresh, to become more and more saturated. The Bible says you receive the Holy Spirit and then you go on being filled. We sung it about this whole overflowing. I'd love to pray for people today to receive the Holy Spirit if you never have, but also to go on being filled, that we might have the expectation of what God might be able to do in our lives. I don't know where to finish now, Nick. Shall I just pray? Maybe if we can stand. The reason I say I don't know what to do is mainly because when we do these two services, one of the interesting dynamics is the Holy Spirit works in different ways. And if you were to go back and listen to the sermon I gave earlier, it would have been slightly different with different emphasis. And depending on the people, I feel like God has been highlighting certain things that I have highlighted in this that I didn't highlight in the first service. And I don't know why that is. And it's not because of specific people, but I believe that's the Holy Spirit working through me as I've been sharing. But maybe as I was just sharing about where you might be in your step of faith, your journey of faith, whether you haven't even given your life to Jesus or you've been following Jesus for many, many decades, I'd love us to just respond in our own hearts. You know what that looks like for you. You might want to just receive a fresh thing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for that. You might want to receive Jesus for the first time. Love to pray for that, and I'd love to chat to you about helping you work that out. You might want to get baptized later. Come and chat, and we'll work that out. We've already had some people from the first service go, can we get baptized? It's exciting. God is moving. So maybe just in your hearts, sometimes I find it helpful to hold out my hands if I'm sort of asking for God, like in the same way if I was asking my parents for something, are you going to give it? Let's raise our expectation. I'm just going to pray for whatever you feel like you're asking the Lord of, for him to give it to you. There's nothing special about me. I'm just praying a prayer of faith as well. Lord, we come before you this afternoon because we know you have all power, all understanding, all wisdom. Lord, I pray for everyone here today that wherever we're at, whatever we're asking for, whether it's an understanding of who you are for the first time, right through to the refreshing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I know that you hear all our desires and know that you can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And I pray, Lord, would you stir our faith. I love that idea of us all coming, Jesus, what are you going to do today? Raise our expectation. Raise our faith. And Lord, we lift up all those getting baptized this evening. This outward expression of what you're doing on the inside. Lord, we pray for their faith to rise, Lord. We pray as they take this next step in their journey with you, Lord, that they would just feel so much love and compassion and joy in you. Just as Jesus had that, you are my son and I am well pleased. I pray that for those men and women going tonight, you are my son. You are my daughter now. You, I am pleased that you've accepted my invitation. Lord, and I just really want to pray for us as a church that with all that's going on in the world, Lord, that we would bear the fruit of your Spirit. That we would be like beacons of hope and light in dark places, Lord. We pray for the Ukraine situation, Lord. I struggle to comprehend it, Lord. Struggle to comprehend how you could let that happen, Lord. But I say, Lord, would you, your will be done there. Lord, we pray for child Q and her family, Lord. Should have never happened. Evil in this world, Lord. We pray for your peace, your compassion, your love, your healing power in that situation, Lord. Feels like there's nothing personally we can do apart from be angry, Lord. But we are angry about the wrongness that happened there. So many other situations were really about the news, Lord. We are unhappy that it happens, Lord. And we're going to seek you because we believe that you can change it, Lord. And Holy Spirit, would you rise our faith expectation levels? Will we turn up with boiling water ready for you to saturate it? Let us be expecting of what you might do. Whether it's with our neighbours, colleagues, family, that they might get saved, Lord. Whether it's you using us in ways that we feel like a burden but don't know what to do with it. Whether it's you restoring us, Lord, with your health. Holy Spirit, we long to be sharing testimonies of what you're doing. We want to be shouting from the rooftop of what you're doing in our lives, Lord, and amongst us. Lord, would you draw near to us? Lord, we ask all of this in faith, Lord, because we know who we come to ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song now which just packed full of gospel truth. Of just reminding us of what Jesus has done for us, what that means for us. And it's like an amazing song to end any service on. Let's sing this together.
Father, we thank you for all that you've done this morning, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will soften our hearts, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be the cold drink where you can't do anything. We want to be the hot drink, the hot water, where just dropped into our lives, Lord, you can be effective. And we can taste of you, Lord, to those around us, Lord. Forgive us for having cold hearts, Lord. Forgive us for having unbelieving hearts, Lord. But we pray that you work in us, Lord. And we pray for tonight, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts, Lord, that they may be hot water, Lord, that we would be ready for you to do something wonderful in the lives of all those being baptized and all the friends and family of those being baptized. And in our own hearts, Lord, we pray for a meeting with you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It would be really nice to finish with a grace. Would you mind, Sandra? We got the words up here. I think, Phil. Some of you know sorry, Susanna. Do you know, all the Sandras in the world know I call them Susanna. And the Susannas know I call them Sandra. I do the same with flowers as well. So don't be offended. And also a very warm welcome. We know that Jackie has an extensive family. But she is some from Philadelphia have dropped in today. So why don't we just give them a bit of a welcome? So these are wonderful words, aren't they? The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and we've talked about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is becoming more real to us. So shall we? Are you going to lead us in that?
No, you're going to do it.
Okay. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Susanna. Thank you. Well, see you this evening, guys. Have a lovely afternoon.